listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. For more information about the show, go to theunionedge.com.
This is Solidarity News on Radio Labor.
This is a Radio Labor news update recorded on Thursday, April 30th, 2015. I'm Mark Belanger. British and American teacher unions are campaigning against the practices of a huge education multinational. Representatives of the National Union of Teachers in the UK and the American Federation of Teachers in the US recently attended the annual general meeting of the company called Pearson, which is headquartered in London. I talked to Kevin Courtney, the Deputy General Secretary of the National Union of Teachers, the NUT. I asked him to describe the company and what it does.
Pearson is a British-based multinational company. It has various interests. It owns the Financial Times, a business-orientated paper in the UK. It's quite famous. It's got huge interests in education worldwide. $8 billion US global sales last year. It's got contracts for high-stakes testing in many jurisdictions, including England and Wales and the US. So they have the contracts for about 9 million tests in the US and for the SATS tests here in the UK. It's also expanding networks of for-profit, so-called low-fee private schools in the Global South. It used to be a publisher primarily, and it used to publish textbooks that teachers in English schools were certainly pleased to use. So many people have got a positive view of Pearson because of that history, but they aren't quite up to date with the huge multinational that it now is. And like I say, expanding and seeking to expand further high-stakes testing and to expand further these networks of private schools in the Global South.
Why does the NUT and other education unions object to Pearson? What is this high-stake testing that you're talking about?
Yeah, so it's, I guess we should say, it's not Pearson, the company, that we object to, it's its actions. So we believe, teacher organizations believe, and this is worldwide, I think, we believe that the testing craze of the people who run education has gone too far. They are putting our children through tests in some places every year, in others not quite as frequently as that. But these tests lead to enormous pressure on teachers to teach to the test instead of giving the children a broad education. They lead to increased pressure on the young people themselves, and we believe damage education. We think they've gone too far, and some actions that have happened as a result of these are very distasteful. So Pearson has the contract for some tests called the PARC tests in the US, which happen in different states. They're very concerned to, as they say, protect the security of their test. So they are monitoring the social networks of young people in order to check that they aren't talking about the tests. And so they're spying on children in the US. They are lobbying politicians in many countries to seek to expand high-stakes testing. And we believe that's not for any real educational reason, but more fundamentally because they make a healthy profit out of running those high-stakes tests, which we believe are bad for education.
In Africa, unionists are waiting to see what happens in Swaziland tomorrow, May 1st. They fear violence will be used against the country's workers. Radio Labor's senior correspondent, Seemari Ainsborough, has a report.
In Swaziland, the dictator, King Mswati III, has threatened to use police violence if unionists in the country go ahead with a march through the capital on May Day. Police have announced that only recognized unions will be allowed to celebrate May 1st, the International Workers' Day. That means the central labor organization in the country, TAKUSWA, will not be allowed to participate in marches. TAKUSWA is the Trade Union Confederation of Swaziland. It was declared illegal as part of the government's widespread repression of free speech and freedom of association. King Mswati is the last absolute monarch in Africa. This is Seemari Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
And that's it, international labor news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm John Kerr. Riots broke out in Baltimore in the wake of the mysterious death of Freddie Gray, who died a week after suffering an unexplained injury while in police custody. You'll never guess who Fox personalities blame. Here's Fox Business host Lou Dobbs.
I think it is sort of a signal that there is a war on law enforcement in this country. And it was, frankly, in my judgment, corroborated, if not condoned, by this administration.
Later in the program, Fox contributor Keith Abelow added that people who want to tear down the system, like the people in Baltimore, quote, might be taking their cues from this president. Unsurprisingly, this isn't even the first time Fox figures have blamed the Obama administration for police violence. During the unrest in Ferguson, Missouri, the network accused President Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder of supposedly fostering a culture that led to the shooting of two police officers. But President Obama sharply condemned both Ferguson and the Baltimore riots. For more on this and other stories, please visit MediaMatters.org.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. In studio with me today, we've got Butch Santacola. Butch, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles. Great to be here.
Always a pleasure. And from the Fairfax Education Association, we've got Kimberly Adams, who's president of the Fairfax Education Association. Kimberly, welcome to Union Edge.
Thanks, Charles, so much. Glad to be here today.
We're excited to have you with us. You've got a number of things going on in the Fairfax County area. You've got a county board of supervisors, a budget, tax rates. How is this impacting the schools, and what should parents in the community be aware of?
Well, you know, along with the superintendent, Dr. Garza, and the school board, we're disheartened again to see the Board of Supervisors continuing to show what we consider a devaluation of our county's public school system. You know, we know that a world-class school system increases the property values and draws thousands of residents every year, and it gives our children the best community to grow up in. And since 2008, we've seen cuts of more than 2,000 positions here in Fairfax County Schools, nearly $500 million cut from our budget. And this is affecting every school and every department.
Kimberly, have the number of students that you're teaching gone down?
Oh, of course not. This area continues to grow. The population increased significantly. Many students come here from lots of countries across the world. And every day, you know, we see a number of students in every one of our schools. So, no, the population hasn't slowed down at all.
Okay, so you've got as many, if not more, students, but now you have less teachers.
Right. There's more than 18,000 new students since 2008 and fewer teachers. So, yes, the burden of work on all of our employees has increased, and we've seen salaries that have stagnated due to budget cuts.
How many students do you have per class on average?
Average class size here, it depends on the school because we have so many different schools. There are nearly 200 schools in Fairfax County, but the average class size is around 27.
Okay.
Kimberly, this is Butch. Nice to talk with you about this situation. We have similar situations going on all across the country, but this is absolutely amazing. This is one of the worst, Charles, I've heard in the study. It's not the worst, but it's one of the worst. Kimberly, absolutely amazing that what's happening in Fairfax is happening elsewhere. How have the teachers responded? I mean, they've got to be despondent. They've got to be very upset over the whole thing. The morale has to be at a teetering level at this point.
You're spot on there, Butch. Unfortunately, our teachers can't afford to live in Fairfax. Mm-hmm. Many of them commute in from other counties. Mm-hmm. And what they're starting to realize is that they can actually be paid what they're paid now here in Fairfax or more in the county they live in.
Sure.
So we are seeing our teachers with experience leaving.
Now, Kimberly, let me ask you this. You know, I know I'm not a teacher. My wife's a teacher, thank God. But I have to ask this. I mean, is there a move afoot by members of the school board to cut the legs out from underneath the public school system so they can get rich from these quote-unquote nonprofit, privatized, irresponsible organizations that claim to be schools?
Well, you know, here in Fairfax, we're really lucky. There are no charter schools that are tied into our school board. Our school board seems to still be opposed to that type of school. We have seen teacher-led schools as someone who's come in to try to talk to the school board and convince them that they might be able to do some good. But as far as those large for-profit corporates, we don't have many of them in the state even. One of them has found a foothold in one of our poorer counties, and you know, as that happens, what they do is they pull revenues from larger counties like ours when they get one of these students to go to their online schools. They actually are allowed to take the per pupil expenditure of a local district, and you have that as their revenue when they pull a student.
So you really,
so yeah, it is a challenge.
Kimberly Butch again, you really don't have a lot of cyber schools and charter schools in Virginia as a state.
No. We don't, luckily, yet.
Yeah, just
However, the more schools that go into what we call turnaround schools, and I'm sure you've heard of those,
yes,
or reconstitution, I'm sure that there will be folks who will look for that privatization.
Because that's killing public education. It's really hurting public education in other states. Pennsylvania is just getting the amount of money spent on private schools and cyber schools is phenomenal. So congratulations on keeping them out. I have one more question about the funding. Has there been a reaction from the taxpayers or the people that pay the freight as to
You know, it's interesting because we attended 3 days of hearings at our Board of Supervisors, which is the funding body here in Fairfax. And, you know, to hear a majority of people stand up and say, we need additional funding for all county services, we need additional funding for our schools, most people didn't say, cut my taxes. Now, there is a small fraction of people who have stood up and said, I'm part of the Fairfax County Taxpayers Alliance and cut my taxes, but they seem to be few and far between, where the majority of folks are actually saying, you need to do what's right for my family, for my neighbor, for me, whether I have children in the schools or not, for our county and our community. We've got to find new revenue sources, and we've got to raise more revenues.
You know, Kimberly, I got to tell you, every time I hear one of these people stand up and say, oh, you have to cut my taxes, I've got an answer for them. Okay, no cops, no firemen, no paramedics, no road in front of your house, no gas, no water, no electric. How you like that one? Oh, you want to disadvantage somebody else's kid because you figure your kid is already graduated or you don't have. No, it's a communal response. It's a community educational process. It's called the public schools. They don't last too terribly long. What is the issue with the school board? I don't want to vilify the school board right off the bat, but you know.
Right. No, what? I mean, our school board has worked exceedingly hard, collaborated with the superintendent and her staff to create what we considered a realistic budget. I mean, they truly created transparency, a realistic budget that didn't ask for significantly more. In fact, the superintendent did make cuts this year to bring forth a budget that only asked for an increase of less than 3% across the board. So, you know, they don't want to cut programs. They don't want to cut electives, and especially they don't want to cut the arts here in Fairfax County.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about balancing, you know, number of students in an average core class to, you know, electives, they have to make choices, and that's not the choice they want to make. Most parents don't want that choice to be what they make.
Right. So I am sure at this point in time, you've got some ideas. The Fairfax Education Association has got some ideas on how things can be done. You know, 10,000 foot view, like what would be the first thing that you would do to try and make this a better learning environment?
Right. So, you know, unfortunately, a time where they could have put a new revenue source called a meals tax into a referendum passed, the time to pass that onto the referendum point has gone by. So we can't have a referendum on whether or not we tax meals in the county. They won't probably put it on in this election year because of the, you know, them all being up for election currently. The following year, during the presidential, may be our next opportunity to see a new source of revenue for the county if they're willing to put it to referendum and allow the voters to decide.
Kimberly, so is there a contested election for school board?
There are a few contested elections. You know,
how big is your school board? How big is your
school board? There are nine magisterial districts. Each one has a representative, and then there are three at-large members, so a total of 12. And then we also have a student representative, which is odd for, you know, most school boards don't have a student representative.
That student representative doesn't vote, of course.
Correct, non-voting, but does give input.
Why doesn't the student get the vote?
Well, I don't, you know, I don't think
I'm looking at Butch. I'm giving Butch a hard time on this one because
Kimberly, he gives me a hard time all of, most of the time. But that's a good question. Why, but that's the way it is every place.
Yeah, I get it.
Everywhere. He's under 18.
Yeah, well, it just so happens that one of the young men at my son's high school who is 18 is running for the school board in, so Butch is going to have some fun with that. He's over 18. He should be able to vote.
Yes, I mean, anybody that's over that age can vote.
Actually, we think there might be someone running in my district that's young, so we'll see.
There we go. Hey, listen, Kimberly, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some more of these issues. But before we do that, how do we find out more about the Fairfax Education Association?
Well, our Fairfax Education Association is online. We are on Twitter at FEA, and we are also on Facebook at Fairfax Education Association, and we have our own website at fairfaxea.org.
Okay, fantastic. And listen, we're going to take a very short break. We'll come back, and we will talk some more about this. I'm Charles Showalter, and you're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
Words can be discombobulating when people twist them to fit concepts that are the exact opposite of what the word actually means. Consider the current debate in Washington over the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This secretly negotiated deal is the exact opposite of a, quote, liberal reform, for it blatantly transfers a major portion of our people's democratic sovereignty into the plutocratic hands of multinational corporate giants. Yet lawmakers and pundits fronting for the corporations have disingenuously dubbed this corporatization of power a, quote, liberalization of global policies. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. For an example of the reactionary reality of TPP, look at a couple of little favors it does for Big Pharma. First, it extends the number of years that a pharmaceutical giant can keep a patent on its brand name drugs. Not only does this artificially add more monopoly profits into the coffers of drug makers, but it simultaneously postpones competition from the makers of cheaper generic drugs, an especially dangerous delay for low-income people who are ill. A second provision restricts public regulation of drug prices by any of the 12 countries that are part of the agreement. This is a gross nullification of the people's sovereign right to remedy price gouging by corporate profiteers that hold monopolies on life-saving medicines. Those pushing TPP assert that it's merely a trade agreement, and we should not bother our little heads with worry about its details. But it's filled with gotchas like these gifts to Big Pharma. They have nothing to do with trade and everything to do with global elites secretively, deceitfully, and immorally agreeing among themselves to steal power from us. This is Jim Hightower saying, don't just worry about TPP, fight it. Get the lowdown on how at stoptpp.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Tuitions go up and up. Higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Hi, I'm Al Roker. Let me tell you what's happening in your neck of the woods. Right now, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are our neighbors, friends, our co-workers, but we can do something about it. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find the local food bank in your community. I'm Al Roker, and together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council. Members of the American Postal Workers Union handle more than 165 billion letters and packages a year. That's about 34 million pounds of mail every day. Ever wonder what this costs you as a taxpayer? Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? Not a single cent. The United States Postal Service doesn't run on your tax dollars. It's funded solely by stamps and postage. Brought to you by the men and women of the American Postal Workers Union.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That is so very sure. Folks, don't forget, go to our website, theunionedge.com. Sign up for our e-activist newsletter. If you're local, your organization could use some help, we'll get that word out for you. And if you can help, we'll get the word to you. It's called Solidarity. We're all in this together. We're all working real hard to improve our communities. And speaking of improving our communities, on the phone with us right now, Kimberly Adams, president of the Fairfax Education Association. Kimberly, welcome back.
Thanks, Charles.
Always a pleasure. And in studio with me today, Butch Santacola. Butch, welcome.
Thank you, Charles.
Great always
to
a be pleasure,
here.
Man. Always a pleasure. You know, Kimberly, one day we're going to be smart. We're going to hook up a microphone where we're going to record the conversations that we have in studio, you know, when the average person isn't listening. A couple of things that Butch and I just learned about Fairfax County. You are the fifth richest county in the United States.
Correct.
Average income in the county is about $110,000?
Just about that, a little more, yep.
Okay. Teachers in the county are starting off at $48,000 a year?
No, sir. Teachers in the county are starting less than $50,000 a year. And the top of our scale ends at $90,000 if you're if you maintain a master's degree as your high salary.
Yeah, and as a teacher, my wife just got her master's degree. You still have to spend that $30,000 to get the master's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the school district doesn't pay for that.
No, actually, about 6 years ago, they removed the credit for classwork from their.
But Kimberly, I know you're required to get those certifications, so you don't have a choice. How long does it take to get the maximum salary in Virginia, in Fairfax?
So if you're going to go from that low of $45,000 and go all the way up to the top at $100,000, you have to not only have your PhD, but you have to work for the system for 30 years.
Okay.
A PhD.
Correct.
That you got to pay for in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hate to rub salt in the wound, and this is not directed at you, but for all those people that say teachers are overpaid, an MBA, master's degree from Katz Business School, you walk out the door, you can expect a job the next day starting at $150,000 a year.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, we know that.
So,
we're not doing it for the money, right, Charles?
or the glory. But you're doing it for the right reasons, and God bless teachers in this country, each and every one of them. So, you know, we got a couple other things that we want to get addressed. So, Kimberly, what is it that you want the public to know?
Well, one of the things that really interests us when we go into this budget battle every year, if you will, is that the Board of Supervisors, the funding body, has to advertise a higher tax rate or has to advertise a tax rate annually. And, you know, annually they do this kind of, it's not behind closed doors, it's definitely done at a public meeting, but without any kind of a hearing. There's no public input when they first advertise, you know, what they want to put out as a proposed tax rate. So public input really doesn't happen until the moment that they put out their final, almost this is what we want as a budget, and then ask for public input. And they've already determined that they won't be able to meet the needs of the county because they've already said we can't tax our folks higher than this rate.
Okay, Kimberly, that's interesting because they put a limit on what they can fund. So the people that really suffer from that, you go all the way down the line, or the students, the people that you teach, because the funds just aren't there. And they've
Correct.
Built in this system that will absolutely not fund education the way it is. Way it should be. Let me, as we've been talking here all afternoon or this half hour, I have a question. Where is there a parent group, a parent teacher group? Where are they? A PTA or a PTO? Where are they on all this?
Right. So the PTA in Fairfax County, Fairfax County Council of PTAs, has joined with us this year, and other groups such as SEIU, Virginia 512. to, you know, stand together and pretty much say our county is not doing what's in the best interest of kids, it's not doing what's in the best interest of families and workers. And so, you know, the Virginia PTA and the Virginia Education Association, the two organizations that I belong to, did actually come together and hold a rally in Richmond to try to force some light to our legislators on what they're not doing to fund our schools at the county level.
Okay, how is it broken down in Virginia? You have state funds and then you have county funds.
Correct. We have state funding and county funding, and it's all based on what we call the local composite index. So depending on how much income or wealth your county is determined to have, you get less money from the state. So you can imagine less than 18% of the funding in Fairfax comes from the state. So most of the funding does have to come from our local property tax base and other revenue streams, which there are not that many. Business property is probably the only other major tax we have in Fairfax County.
That's a funding problem you're going to have. I mean, it's just, I could see this happening, compounding as time goes on, to be a larger and larger gap.
Right, and you're not going to make this up with the cookie sales.
Right. No.
Yeah, no, you're not going to make this up with the cookie sales. I mean, Kimberly, you know, I know this is a very difficult situation all the way around, but when you talk to parents, when you talk to people in the community, what are their reactions and, you know, what are they saying to you?
Well, you know, most parents want the best for their child's education. They want to know that their child's teacher is well taken care of. So it really does come down to that classroom and that child's teacher when a parent is talking. I want to make sure that Johnny's teacher has what she needs to be able to come in day after day and give of her life and her family's time to my child.
Mm-hmm.
We really are, you know, that's when it gets right down to the heart of it, our parent community is saying, pay my child's teacher more, please.
Okay, and what are local businesses in the community saying that, you know, there's an impact with them, too?
Right.
Are they being...
They see the value of our schools, I hope, but there are folks within some of our chambers of commerce who don't want to give additional funding to schools. Most of them know that the schools in Fairfax County are what drive big business here, and they're what continue our economy on an upward growth rather than stagnant growth. Unfortunately, they've seen a decline in the number of people moving here with big businesses and taking over a lot of that office space. So the unrented office space poses a challenge to Fairfax County revenues. And again, they pass it on to the classroom in that respect.
We are not going to get to all the answers today. not even with Butch here, you know, with 48 years of experience. And that was just in the first grade.
All right. That's Kimberly, I'm used to that. That's shot after shot after shot. I'll get even one of these days.
But, you know, but here's what I want to do. I want to make sure that people know how to find you guys if they want to come out. And I'm sure that you're going to get some people calling you and say, hey, what can we do to help? And we want to do that, too. So how do people find you, Kimberly?
Really, the best way is on our Facebook page. If they message us or attach to some of our postings, you know, at Fairfax Education Association, that's the best way to get to us. They can always contact us online at president@fairfaxea.org. And, you know, we're always willing to take a call if they manage to get into our office and want to speak with me or other folks.
Okay, well, fantastic. Listen, Kimberly, very last words. We got 30 seconds. Last words for the listening audience today.
Sure. I mean, I just want to point out that I think most of myself and colleagues in Fairfax County have determined we've actually passed the tipping point. There's been irreparable damage to our school system. Class sizes continue to rise. Employee salaries continue to stagnate. And people really are not happy with the direction of Fairfax County. And our Board of Supervisors really has to realize this before we end up at a point where we are, you know, another city in this country that has seen its schools decline and with it, everything around the quality of life.
Absolutely. Kimberly, let me ask you this. We had booked you for a half hour. Can you stick around for one more 10-minute segment?
Sure.
Okay, fantastic, because we're going to continue to get this out there. And I'm looking at Butch, and he could share.
So, okay, great.
In the meantime, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and talk some more. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Short-haul drivers are on strike against four companies at the ports of Los Angeles, Long Beach, and San Diego. They're demanding they be reclassified as company employees. Monica Lopez was at the Port of Long Beach and files this report.
Port truckers in Southern California entered their third day of picketing on Wednesday. They're striking to be recognized as employees by the companies they drive for. Right now, drivers like Humberto Canales are classified as independent contractors. That means Canales rents the truck he drives from Pacer Cartage and pays for it through deductions from his paycheck. Canales says that he made $1,300 for the company, for the truck and everything, maintenance for the truck, gas, and his check still came out to $0. Canales' paycheck stub from early March shows that he worked a 48-hour work week. It also shows a total of $710.96 in company deductions for truck fuel, license fee, liability, and rental of the truck itself. Requests for an interview with Pacer's parent company, XPO Logistics, were declined. Instead, a written statement provided by a Pacer spokesman says their company believes the vast majority of drivers value the significant benefits of operating independently. On Tuesday night, disruption from picketing at Evergreen Terminal in the Port of Los Angeles prompted Evergreen to turn away trucks hauling for the targeted companies. Monica Lopez, Workers Independent News, Long Beach.
More than 5,000 RNs will strike eight California hospitals tomorrow and May 1st. The nurses' strike is focused on calling for safe staffing levels, as well as implementing steps to retain experienced RNs. The nurses say management demands for cuts in health coverage for RNs and their families is also a major concern of the striking nurses. The strike starts Thursday at Kaiser Permanente's Los Angeles Medical Center. 2,200 University of Connecticut graduate assistants overwhelmingly ratified their first union contract as United Auto Workers members. GEU UAW says the contract improved health benefits with no premium increase, provides relief from hundreds of dollars per year in mandatory student fees, hikes wages by 9.3% over 3 years, and provides 6 weeks of paid maternity leave. The new UAW contract with UConn also provides child care subsidies and includes gender identity or expression as a protected non-discrimination category. The contract also provides an expedited grievance procedure in cases where loss of a job may jeopardize the visa status of graduate assistants.
Workers Independent News is brought to you with support from Union-Owned Bank of Labor, a division of Brotherhood Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender, doing whatever it takes to meet your business lending needs for new construction, remodeling, or building training facilities. Online at bankoflabor.com.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Go, 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 go.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. Appreciate it. Of course, this is the Education Watchdog segment, Pit Bull of Education, Butch Santacola. Butch, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles. It's good to be here, and I see the dogs are out running.
Oh, absolutely. And to help us, she's probably in shock by now because we did this to her. We didn't warn her. We also have Kimberly Adams, who is the president of the Fairfax Education Association. Kimberly, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
As you can see, we have a little bit of fun with this. Butch is, in fact, the pit bull of education for our program, and we're excited to have you with us. We're talking about some of the issues going on in Fairfax County. You guys are talking to the Board of Supervisors, the school board. You're concerned about the budget and the tax rates and how you're going to fund the school. And unfortunately, the way you're talking and the way Butch is talking, you guys are kind of in a downward spiral, and bake sales aren't going to get you out of it, are they?
That's true. Unfortunately, well, here in Fairfax, bake sales are not going to save us.
Well, according to your economic standing, of course they're not. That's not going to work anywhere. It's funny. It's not funny, but it's really interesting, Kimberly. Over the last month, and I haven't said anything to Charles about this, but over the last month, I've been talking to numbers of teachers and numbers of PSEA staff that work and leaders that work within Pennsylvania, asking them, give me one issue that you think is critical to the survival of public education. And you in Fairfax and those in Pennsylvania have hit on the same topic, funding. Funding is the issue. And the elections coming up are absolutely critical that we elect, whether in Fairfax or whether here in Pennsylvania, whether in school districts, individual school districts, that we elect people that have an open mind to the aspect of funding public education.
Yeah, that's right, Butch. You know, this is an election year. Here in Fairfax, we'll elect an entire new school board and an entire new board of supervisors and all of our House of Delegates and Senate members as well. So it's a big election year here in Fairfax for our local folks.
In fact, Carolyn or Kimberly, I attended a school board meeting in my school district, Moon Township, on Monday evening as an observer, and watched a former business manager from somewhere in Virginia by the name of Curtis Baker propose certain things in Moon Township, taking away the authority of the taxpayer, actually running the school district. And there's going to be a major controversy with that in Pennsylvania, in especially in Moon Township, because he came here without proper certification and had to seek special dispensation to become a superintendent. But anyhow, he's bringing the theories of his experiences in Virginia to Pennsylvania. And it's dangerous what's happening here because he's taking on the union. I know we have different situations as far as bargaining, right representation, and so forth as you have in Virginia. But he's trying to eliminate all that we've gained over the years here in Pennsylvania. I somewhere along the line, your situation in Fairfax has to be felt by people in Pennsylvania and vice versa. It has to happen both ways.
Yep.
And
you can't address increasing needs with shrinking resources.
That's correct.
And every year we see increasing needs for our students.
Do you have any year-round schools?
We don't right now. We used to, unfortunately, back in 2007. That was one of the first things they cut.
Did you find them successful? Did your members
them? They were successful here. A lot of our members did enjoy that additional funding because they were paid additional days and that they could have intercession contracts that they chose to teach during those intercessions between semesters. And a lot of those folks are actually some of the first that went to other surrounding jurisdictions when they found they could make up that pay elsewhere.
They've talked about it in Pennsylvania. I happened to bargain and work with one of the only school district that I'm aware of that really got into year-round school districts, and that was many, many decades ago. And that was in the early 70s in the Oriole City School District. And they got out of it. And it hasn't really been talked about every once in a while, but it's never something that's very seriously proposed.
I've heard of them in California, and I know there are places in Virginia, and there are legislators here who have said year-round school might be the solution. Of course, with year-round school comes even more of a problem for funding.
Sure, because it's going to cost more money. And once that rises to the surface and it becomes a reality, chances are the board says, oh, we can't do that. Excuse me, teachers and employees of the Fairfax School District, will you take a bigger cut? or will you work longer? That's what's going to happen. They're going they're going to make that suggestion to you. So the number one issue I found, Kimberly, was the funding issue. The second thing that came up, and boy, there has been a lot of discussion on this, the issue in Baltimore about the divide of the rich versus, you know, so forth. And now teachers, you know, springtime is always a dangerous time in schools. At least it has been. That's when all the activity, kids are bored, kids are, you know, and there's quite a fear here by teachers. They don't talk about it openly, but there's a fear that the safety issue is going to become prevalent in some of these school districts across the state. I don't know whether you, your members are feeling that, but it's just a little bit, people are a little bit nervous.
Yeah, we haven't experienced anything similar to that here, but, you know, we do have, it's interesting because you mentioned students. There's a hashtag right now, and you probably remember when they had hashtag close FCPS back during the snowstorms. The new hashtag is hashtag save FCPS, and it is trending fairly high, and we've got a lot of students who are very interested in making sure that their school continues to be funded. So the students here seem to be becoming more active and more activists in how they make sure that their elected officials are hearing from them, even though they may not be eligible to vote.
That's absolutely outstanding, Kimberly, that's taking place. And it was really interesting. If you talk to teachers here in some of the less fluent school districts, they get those kids in those schools for 6.5 to 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the time they go back.
A third of their lives.
That's right. And they go the rest of that time, they go back into the atmosphere. That they in the communities and the family life and the home and the economic conditions. And then the schools are expected to overcome all the issues that are out there, all the problems that they have.
And, right. Well, and that, you know, here in Fairfax County, people think, well, you're the fifth wealthiest county in the nation. It must be pretty easy to educate your student population. But we are probably one of the most diverse counties in the country, speaking over 147 different languages from most countries in the world. And our poverty rate is higher. This kindergarten class of the incoming kindergarten class is a 35% poverty level.
In Fairfax County.
Free and reduced lunch students is at 35% for our incoming kindergarten class. And more than 15,000 students in Fairfax County are actually homeless. 15,000. We have 187,000 students. And 15,000 of them are homeless in Fairfax County.
That does not make sense. Not in the not in the school district that's the fifth wealthiest in the country.
That makes absolutely positively no sense at all. And Butch,
right.
Listen, guys, we got to take. Can we get you to stick around for one more segment?
Sure.
Fantastic. Listen, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council. Why the word you say?
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Chris Garlock, the Union Edge's man in D.C. The Metro Washington Council, AFL-CIO, works to promote social justice for all working people in the nation's capital. Each year, the council coordinates strategy and organizes demonstrations to support the local fight for workers' rights. The council also provides emergency services and legal counseling for workers and supports politicians who advocate for workers' issues. For the latest local labor news, follow us at Twitter, at DC Labor, and check out our website at dclabor.org.
Who let the dogs out?
Hello and welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Of course, this is the Education Watchdog segment of the Union Edge, and our favorite pit bull is in today, Butch Santacola. Butch, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles, and welcome, Kimberly. I'm glad you could stick around and we could talk some more.
Thanks, Butch. It's been a really great conversation here.
You know, I'll tell you, Butch, the pack is growing.
I think it is. The pack is getting bigger. Those dogs are going to sound like a herd of elephants coming down after you.
So, you know, Kimberly, one of the things about your community is you have a very diverse community. Even though it's very wealthy, there are a lot of people on the opposite end of the spectrum financially. So you have some very unique programs, schools within the schools. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, so in Fairfax, we do have quite a number of students for whom English is not their first language. And, you know, every teacher is expected to educate every child in Fairfax County Public Schools. So we do a lot of work with our ESOL, or English as Second Language program. And this year, our superintendent is bringing in a program that she's seen modeled in other places in the country to really help English language learners to adapt to English first before we throw them into a classroom with, mm-hmm. say, physics or something else, that they actually have a few weeks to try to learn English right. for the first time ever.
Right. You know, I gotta tell you a really kind of neat story. Years ago, when I was a young man, I was stationed in Germany with a NATO unit, and members of all the NATO countries had members that served within this unit. It was kind of a, you know, let's all work together kind of unit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you had people speaking this language, that language, and the other language. But you know what the really cool thing was? When people get mad at each other and curse, they all cursed in English. So long story short, you know, that kind of group environment where people were working hard to communicate and the commonality is English is a wonderful thing. And it's a great preparatory. I hope there's no cursing in school, but
probably not.
Only on this station when we're off here. Kimberly, you know, school districts in Pennsylvania and other states have English as a second language. But you have what did you say us on the break? How many different languages are spoken in Virginia?
It's more than 147, and I could find you the actual numbers. But they're, you know, we represent a child from probably every country in the world, and there are multiple languages spoken in most of our schools. I know the school I taught at recently, before I became the president of our union.
What did you teach, Kimberly?
Woods. I was the librarian at my school, library media specialist. We had about 900 children, and of those, we probably had at least 47 different languages represented within the school. And probably nearly a third of the students, English was not their first language.
Wow, that's just absolutely amazing. I mean, we have at, in Pennsylvania, you have school districts that are, some school districts are pocketed, like with one, like you might have a Oriental segment in one district where they've come to this country and they've clustered themselves in that area. But for the most part, like you get into Western Pennsylvania, for the most part, they're limited on that number. I just can't imagine what those teachers are feeling dealing with that kind of situation. That's completely different set of circumstances for public education.
Right. Well, and you imagine Fairfax County is touted as one of the best places in the world to come. So if you are going to bring your family somewhere and you want your children to be successful, you're going to choose Fairfax County Public Schools, and that's a good thing. And we love the diversity that comes to our nation, and especially to Fairfax County. But it does take our teachers and our faculty within a school a lot of effort to make sure that those students are successful.
But
that's what we do every day.
And Kimberly, you just put that 10-penny nail in with a sledgehammer. The businesses in the Fairfax area and those who benefit from the influx of money, of educated parents, so on and so forth, should be throwing every resource that the school system could ever ask for or want, because if you do not have an excellent school system for the kids, those parents are going to go somewhere else, aren't they?
They are. They definitely are.
And that's
unfortunately, there are other counties nearby.
And that's what's amazing to me. You have one of the wealthiest counties in the country. You have probably one of the best faculties in the country. I'm going to give you that compliment just based on what you've said. And yet the funding is an issue. I just find that very difficult to understand and grasp.
Right.
Your income per person is higher than anybody else. I mean, most districts we deal with. And it's just unbelievable to me. I'm having a hard time grasping the fact that you're having a funding issue in Fairfax County. It's just very difficult. And I guess over the next couple months, I'm going to learn a little bit more about Fairfax County.
Well, that's great. I'm proud to speak about our county. I've always been proud to live and work here for more than 15 years. My husband and I are both teachers here in Fairfax, and we have children that are growing up in the system now. So, we need to do everything we can to enrich the lives of our students here in Fairfax. And provide everything they need. We don't even provide preschool for every 3- and 4-year-old here. We didn't even have full-day kindergarten until a couple of years ago. There's just, these gaps that our students are facing that mm-hmm. we're not keeping up with.
One thing you didn't do, and I it's really interesting because Charles and I, at least I am, when we have different leaders of associate unions on, they sometimes attack the administration, I don't want to say attack. There's disparaging words spoken about the administration. You have not done that. And am I correctly assuming that there is a very positive relationship, or at least a relationship where you can discuss things without saying disparaging things about each other?
Yeah, for sure. And, we've worked hard at what we would consider collaboration between our union and our administration.
Outstanding.
And it is a good thing. There are, we have issues. There are things here and there where we have to really fight for a member who has an issue, and we have to take them to task. But, the conversation never gets ugly, and we're always willing to work for the best, the best possible schools for our students and particularly for our employees from my angle.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all know, Kimberly, that teachers all across the country take these jobs for the money, the huge money that they get.
Of course.
The glory, the 3 months off every year.
Oh, yeah.
You only have to work 4 hours a day. And, and anybody who believes that, no, that's not how it goes. Anybody who knows better and says it anyway, shame on you. We'll feed them to the dogs.
There we go. Definitely.
Kimberly, we got to get going. We appreciate you being with us today. We look forward to getting you back in or without Butch. And we're going to have lots of fun. And if there's anything at all we can do to help, you let us know.
Well, thanks again to you both. And I enjoy this. And I will look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Okay, fantastic. And we'll talk to you here again soon. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hi, I found your name on the internet. I'm going through a foreclosure. Can you help?
Sure, it's simple. We'll just leverage your transitory expenditures into a fiduciary trust, and we massage those assets before your money goes into my private account.
I don't get it.
If you're facing foreclosure, who should you trust? The HOPE Hotline is a free resource connecting you with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies available 24 hours a day who can give you the information and clarity you need. Call the HOPE Hotline at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
I feel like I'm choking.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out for the afternoon, that's for sure. You know, this is my rant, and I'm going to get Butch Santacola back in on this one. You know, Butch, I got to ask you, you know, why is it in this country where we have an outstanding public school system, where we have some of the best universities and colleges in the world, that we have to fight nickel and dime to educate our kids in the public school system? Why is that?
Well, I think it's greed on the part of the private sector. That's my only guess at this point. I've looked at this, Charles, for years about why are we doing this? What's happening in Pennsylvania and other parts across the country?
Yeah.
I think it's a question of greed. There's so much money available. They look at the public schools, funding of public schools in most school districts, in most places, in most communities. The public schools are their largest employers. So where can they go to get funds? They've taken so much of this out of this country already to make to gather money. Some of these people that are after the public school money are some of your wealthiest people in education anywhere in the country, in the world. So I think it's a question of greed.
I think you're right. The other thing about that is I think there are some in this country that recognize that the public education system is the great equalizer.
Well, no question about
okay.
that.
And they don't want anybody else being a competition to make that extra buck. They don't want those other people out there to be the entrepreneurs or the business leaders. So if we don't educate them, we don't get them into good colleges.
They're going to control. See, I've always said, Charlie, you've heard me say this, I think, that I don't think these people will be satisfied till we go back to the company stores where they have everything must go through the company. Look at that. Why would anybody be fighting the minimum wage? You know, you've talked about that with numbers of people over the year. Why would anybody be opposed to that except for one simple reason? They want their own personal funds to grow so that they can control others.
Think you're right, Butch. Think you're right. In the meantime, everybody else, you got to do your own research and you got to figure it out for yourself.
And come to your own conclusions.
There you go. My God, go vote. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge.